This last session is Women in B2B, How and Why Visionary Brands Are Embracing Diversity at All Levels and Paving Sky's the Limit Career Paths. I like that. I don't know if one of you wrote that, but that's really good.
No, I did not.
Our panelists today, let me introduce the five panelists and then I'll let you get going. So first off, Jen Spencer of Smartbug Media, Melissa Chang of Pure B2B, Lauren Witt of Axosoft, Corinne Sklar of Blue Wolf, and Leah Hansen of Demandbase. So I'll let you all do introductions as the mic comes down and around, but enjoy it. And if they have time, they'll open it up for questions too. I'll run around with the mic so we can all hear. So take it away. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Women in B2B panel. I'm so glad you guys made it here to the 4:30 session. I know it's been a long day. My name is Melissa Chang. I'm the CEO of Pure B2B, and I'm super excited to be moderating this panel with these incredible women. But before we get started with the panel, I just wanted to bring up a question that I thought some of you may be wondering, like, is this panel really still necessary? Is there still a reason that we need to talk about disparity in gender in B2B? And I think, unfortunately, the answer is yes. And we all feel very passionately about having the discussion, not just here in this forum, but also so that all of you can go back to your respective workplaces and bring the conversation there and keep it kind of going. I do have some slides. Let's see if I can get it to work. Maybe. Do I need to point somewhere? Okay. Help? Is there something I can do to, okay, keep going. All right, there we go. So I think really the stats are illuminating. Women make up more than 50% of the global workforce, but they take up less than 20% of the tech jobs and fewer than 50% of leadership roles at all levels of the corporate pipeline. And it gets worse the kind of higher levels you get to, the percentage drops. And the positive around all of that is that there's significantly less overt discrimination against women in most cases. So that's a great thing. But despite the change in perspective that people have, we still see that in the past 10 years, the lift to these percentages has only been about 2%. So the change is not happening very quickly. And there's some research that came out from the Harvard Business Review in 2013, and I realize that's kind of outdated research in a way, but the concepts are not outdated at all. In an article called Women Rising, the Unseen Barriers, which talks about second generation gender bias. And the idea behind that is that there's just unseen structures in place that cause this. It's not overt, like I said, overt discrimination, but there's just structures in place that cause this to happen. For an example, you don't see women in leadership positions, so there's a lack of visibility and mentorship available to women. Or ideas of like a double bind. An example of a double bind is that qualities that are considered to be respected in a leader, things like assertiveness and decisiveness and independence, are not the qualities that are often considered to be wonderful qualities for a woman to have, which are often things like, you know, cooperation and kindness and nurturing. So it puts women in a strange situation. So these unseen second generation gender biases are often part of what causes this. Anyway, it's a complicated conversation. There's a lot of complexity, but it's very important. So I'm excited to have these women here to talk about this issue. They're each doing great work. They're leaders at their respective organizations in marketing and sales roles, and they've really stepped out to help other women rise up in leadership positions. Could you just join me in welcoming these women with a good round of applause? Each of them is going to introduce themselves a little bit, tell you a little bit about their role at their company and a little bit about what they're doing in order to help identify additional opportunities for women. So Jen's going to start us off.
Oh, wonderful. Is this working? Is it working?
I can't tell. Can you hear her?
Yeah, you can hear me? Okay, perfect. Sorry. So I'm Jen Spencer. I'm the Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Smartbug Media. So we're an intelligent inbound marketing agency, and we are a HubSpot Diamond partner. We were HubSpot's Global Partner of the Year last year. I am also on the board of Girls in Tech Phoenix. So Girls in Tech is a global nonprofit that's dedicated to education and empowerment of women in the boardroom and girls in the classroom and getting them involved in technology-related careers and educational paths. And each chapter, there are 70 chapters globally. Each chapter kind of has its own charter. Here in Phoenix, we're very focused on increasing the number of leadership positions that women hold in technology organizations here in Phoenix and encouraging women to you know, take advantage of that entrepreneurial spirit they have and start their own companies.
Some initiatives that you're part of that might be, yeah.
Thank you. So Girls in Tech is a big initiative that I'm a part of. So I'm the membership chair. So being at events like this, and we have a booth in the marketplace, thanks to B2BMX, who sponsored that for us or is hosting us. So that's a big part of what I do. I also mentor a student at UC Berkeley, one-to-one. That's through Bravado's mentorship program that they have, where they're trying to encourage more sales leaders, or women in sales, truly. And then the other thing that I do in partnership with HubSpot is they really dedicate a lot of their resources to improving just improving the diversity. And they recently published, is this what we're showing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they recently published this report. They made all of their diversity research very, very public. And they identified that although they are seeing more women in sales roles as individual contributors, they are not seeing women in those sales leadership roles. And so to help fix that problem, they've asked me to come out to their office. I'll be going out there in April just to have a fireside chat and meet with their sales team, their female sales team, just to kind of share my story and how I grew into a sales leadership position and give them this opportunity because they believe if you can't see it, you can't be it. And so those are some of the ways that I'm getting involved. I like to get involved at like micro levels if possible.
Thanks. I think Lauren, could you go next?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, I'm Lauren Whitty Gerard, and I'm with Axosoft. I'm the content strategist over there. And our big diversity initiative is hashtag It Was Never a Dress. So you can probably see on the screen there. So what started is kind of, we're really, really passionate about shifting gender biases. So I'm sure you all know or familiar with the bathroom sign. It was never a dress. It's always been a superhero cape. So what turned into kind of a really fun branding thing has really turned into a viral campaign that has global affinity, which has been really cool. So we still have a platform where women can share their stories through our It Was Never a Dress. We're very social with it. Obviously, it's a hashtag. And then most recently, I was formerly on the board with Jen at Girls in Tech. I'm still a committee member. We launched a scholarship program, and we have three women going through a boot camp currently that we will, Axosoft will interview at the end, hopefully for a developer position. So we really found that a lot of these scholarships and boot camps really were missing this corporate tie-in. So we're not only funding it, but we're going to be willing to offer them a job, well, an interview at the end. So yeah, that's our biggest initiative right now. Definitely welcome you to check it out. We love the branding. So
awesome. Great. Leah?
Hi, everyone. My name is Leah Hansen. I'm the Demand Gen Director at Demandbase. And about a year ago, we started something called Women in B2B. And this was our intention. And actually, it was launched on International Women's Day, March 8th. And so we're celebrating pretty soon our first year anniversary. And it was initially created to have a platform that was but non-judgment, a space that people could come together, network, specifically women, to talk about career advancement and the gender issues that we're all facing today. So we had this event in London. It was a huge success, and we've continued the initiative on in our New York office and planning the one in San Francisco right now. And so what we've seen is just by the initial act of creating this internal network has really helped catapult just awareness within companies. And the output there that we've seen then is from top to bottom, just increased awareness of the issues that we're facing today and we want to discuss, but also increased morale and boost of confidence of women and then our peers. So that was really the genesis of why we wanted to start the Women in B2B Network.
Awesome. Thank you. Corinne?
Great. I'm Corinne Sklar. I'm one of the co-founders of a company called Blue Wolf, and we were Salesforce.com's first partner. And we sold that business to IBM about 2.5 years ago, and now we've got 42 offices around the world and thousands of employees. And it's been an incredible journey. And through that time, about 10 years ago, I started a group called the Women's Innovators Network. And the reason it started was we started to see that in the early days of Salesforce, there were all these women that were doing all these really innovative projects. And we started saying, well, we should probably get these people together. And that's how it started. And we started doing networking events. We host big keynotes now at Dreamforce. And we do them around the world, in Australia, in Singapore, in London, in all over the state locations. And it really has been about networking around women. And what has evolved, and the biggest outcome I can say over doing this for 10 years, is yes, women need a network, but what has really been the catalyst, and our program is focused on getting more women to the C-suite, which all of us, if we want that, we need to have more representation there. So the program now is focused on Director Plus getting to the C-suite, and we have shifted the entire programming to focus on men. And the entire program now is not about teaching women how to be more confident. Women are already confident. We need men to be participating in this process with us. So we are hosting on International Women's Day 70 executives in San Francisco teaching men how to become mentors, how to deal with unconscious bias, and working with men specifically around transforming to get more women in the C-suite. So that's what we've been doing. Yeah, cool.
That's awesome. Great. Well, all of you have found leadership roles in sales and marketing. And would you say that those fields, sales and marketing fields, are opening up more opportunities for women? Do you want to start, Lauren?
Sure. Absolutely. I think that they are. And I think, unfortunately, they're more commonly seen sometimes as quote-unquote support roles, which I think can make us feel like they're, I don't know, less than or whatever. But I think it's the perfect opportunity for the way to have your voice be heard in the leadership or in the C-suite and at the board table. So I found that that's been a perfect way, particularly in tech, to get in front of people and decision makers and to garner respect. So absolutely.
Is anyone here in sales by chance? Was there one more? Okay, so the beautiful thing about sales is numbers don't lie, right? So if you're killing it, you're killing it, and everyone knows, right? So I think of for me, sales has been a way to really kind of catapult my career, because in the past, you know, I've worked in marketing as well, but I've sometimes worked for managers that like maybe stole my ideas or kind of downplayed my role. But when you're an individual contributor and you're selling, that's your number. Right. So for me, that's been a really powerful way of showing, you know, what I'm good at and being able to really step into a leadership role. That's because you've got revenue associated with it. So I do believe that marketing and sales do provide those avenues.
Awesome.
I would say that sales and marketing to me are very similar roles. It's just one gets on the road. And it's harder for women because they have to, if you own a big territory, you're getting on the plane Monday through Friday, you're flying around. So it's tougher for women to stay in those fields and rise, which is unfortunate. And that's another conversation. I think that marketing is absolutely a place where women are entering in, you know, big numbers. But when you look at when it gets to you know, mid-30s and you start going to C-suite, it's all bad. It all drops down. So whether it's in marketing, sales, COO, operations, it's all takes a dive. And so I do think that marketing is a great field. There's a great TED Talk, and I hate to give shout outs to TED Talks, but honestly, there is one that I highly recommend everybody watch. It's The Missing 33%. It's the best one I've ever seen that talks about why, whether it's in sales and marketing, why women are not getting to that second, you know, level. And, you know, I do think marketing is an incredible place to be. And like I said on my panel yesterday, I think this might be a path to get to CEO in the future because of our areas of understanding the customer. So I think marketing is one of the best places to be, and you have a higher chance of, you know, continuing to grow, I think, in a marketing role.
Awesome. So this is maybe a question that you would want to start with, Corinne, because it's right up your alley. But why is gender diversity a business issue, not a women's issue? And how can men in leadership roles help balance the scales?
I mean, there is so much data out there at this stage that talks about business value and why having a diverse people equals diverse revenue and greater revenues and value in your business. So I think that is something we might say, you hear the research, but it's not really trickling down. And so, you know, yes, you know, diversity is that's going to drive better business. But I think what we haven't really tapped is how do we really help our business leaders understand what value it is bringing in the teams, right? And making sure that there are structures in our business to be being drive awareness of that. So a lot of data saying yes, but I think there's a problem with data versus your everyday, right? Like being on a panel, like our panel right now is not diverse. This is a non-diverse panel. There needs to be 50% men. There needs to be 50% men in this room. Now, I understand the purpose, but my point is we will not have a session now in IBM that doesn't have 50-50 on the stage. Mm. So we need to start showing those diversities, showing it to start driving the behavior to drive the bigger conversations.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did you want to add anything to this?
And I was actually going to attribute, I don't know, Jen, if you came up with the term we used in Girls in Tech, Menbassador, I think. I don't know.
I cannot take credit for that.
But we very much believe that men need to be part of the solution. And I think that, you know, there's a very different strategies you can go. I think we like to say we need to stop reminding maybe men how they've been part of the problem in the past and instead show them how they can walk alongside you in the journey of solving the solution or coming up with a solution. So absolutely men need to be at the table. To your point, diversity in all different ways needs to be at the table. And hopefully leaders will start seeing the revenue changes and how diversity can impact that.
Awesome. So more and more organizations are starting initiatives to help promote this kind of diversity. I know you guys have mentioned a number of the initiatives that you've been part of and have been supportive of and started in many cases, but are there others that you'd like to mention that you've seen have been really great? Leah, would you like to?
Yeah, I actually was formerly at a design firm called Frog Design, and there was a group of female designers there, and they came together and they realized, you know what really sucks? The pelvic exam. And so they went about redesigning this entire experience and process, because when you think about it, this very intimate ordeal that we go through, it really does suck. You go, the room is always cold. Why is that? It's always cold. You wear this paper gown. You have to scooch at the very end of the bottom of the exam table. And then there's the stirrups and then there's the speculum. So the speculum was actually invented by a male doctor who used to do experiments on slaves. So when you think about that and the innovations that have not happened to something like the speculum, you know, what drew inspiration for me was that they continued to ask the questions. Can we do this better? Can we re-examine this process that we've been doing year after year as women? And so they did, we formed a group. It's called Yona, Y-O-N-A. I highly encourage you to read about it because it's really interesting. And what's inspiring is that they continue to answer or to question and find new answers. Can we do something differently? Is there a better way to do things? And they're going about redesigning this entire process and the speculum itself, which to me is just inspiring. And really the takeaway is just to keep asking questions and to keep questioning the status quo.
That's great.
One.
Yeah, absolutely.
So two real quick. One is I'm super excited. A few weeks ago, we had an IBM conference in Moscone in San Francisco. We launched the #BeEqual campaign. And as part of that, IBM has one of the only large female CEOs at a Fortune 50 company, and Ginni Rometty. And we launched this in-depth report, which I highly recommend if you guys want to see some latest research around, it's called Be Equal, but you can look at it and find the latest research. And I think that's really great to see, us looking at very closely in business. So that's something. Number two, there's a program that one of my colleagues, her name is Nancy Kramer, used to be the CEO of a company called Resource Amirati, started called Free the Tampon. And this has been her initiative. And this is about providing free tampons to basically in all businesses. And so inside of your corporations and, in public places. So those are two initiatives I'm supporting.
Very cool. Anybody else? No. So what are some steps that somebody maybe that's sitting here today that's looking to break into tech, maybe change careers, or really does want to kind of move up the leadership ladder at their companies? What is maybe a first step that they could take or a suggestion that you might have for them? Did you want to?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say our lead designer was previously in corporate events and she took a boot camp and is now our lead designer. So she's a developer. Depending on your circumstances, they do cost money, but those are really great ways to break into tech. And again, we have a scholarship program with Girls in Tech. So.
So I started my career as a high school English and theater arts teacher, and then made my way into B2B tech by way of nonprofit professional theater, like everyone else does. the thing that I know for me, I've just always been attracted to organizations where I can grow my skill set. And I think this is just good advice for anybody, right? So rather than looking at, what company can I join today that in 10 years from now I can see what the chain's going to be? I've been thinking, what can I do that's going to grow my skill set, that's going to make me more marketable as a professional? And nonprofit is there's more work to be done than there's people to do it. And they don't care if you sometimes fall on your face because you're trying. And you do what you got to do. And so that was, for me, an amazing opportunity. And then when you're applying for jobs, finding the person in that organization who's really going to be committed to, not that this person has to commit to you, but is committed to your growth. So I worked in the first tech company I worked for. Every Friday, my CEO would sit with me. It was scheduled originally for 30 minutes and it would turn into an hour. And he taught me everything I have ever needed to know about API integrations that made a significant impact on what I needed to know for that job in particular, but then has grown with me throughout my career. And so when I look for a job, I'm thinking not just about what's the career and what's the salary, but what am I going to learn and who's going to teach it? Who's going to teach it to me? And that I think is when people ask me, that's the first thing I encourage people to do.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, that's all excellent. I can just want to add, to find a mentor, but actually be a mentor, no matter what your level is, to men and women.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll add one piece of it. My feedback would be, how many people want to be a CEO in this room? Or just raise your hand really high. You want it? How many people? Thank you. How many people want to be a CMO? Okay. Here's the thing. You need to be that right now. And I know that's okay, what does that mean? You want to do that, then you need to start thinking about you're selling a deal, how your salespeople sell a deal. Who are you talking to? Turn off your mind, and your mind is telling you're not ready, you don't have the skills, I need to have this degree. That's all bullshit. If you want that, you need to be turning your mind off and doing and acting and networking and pushing and having ideas and having a voice. There's so many of you in this room that will do that if you can just push forward and turn all the negativity that you think is not possible and just really do it and start going after it. If it's not at your company right now, go to the next one and go get it. You can do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with all that. I actually want to contribute to this too, because I think both of the things you guys said, the number one thing, the find a mentor suggestion, I was lucky enough in my career that I found a mentor early and it was a man, and he's now currently my business partner. I worked with him for 8 years in a variety of roles, moving up the ranks, but he really kind of took me under his wing and taught me really everything I needed to know about business. And when I got to a point where I was ready to move on to the next, because there was no more opportunity at my company, he had sold the company, so he made some money, and I went to him and said, look, I've loved this, I'm so sad to leave, but it's time for me to move on. And he said, no, let's start a company together. And so I got a great opportunity through that. And I realize it's a unique situation, but there are people out there, mentors out there that want to help you. They want to pour into the next generation. So that's one thing. The other thing is that as I was preparing for this panel, I came across some research that I thought was really interesting about leadership, and that many women think they're disqualified for leadership. And I thought, that just seems nuts to me, because like, how can that be true? And so this is super informal, like this research will never be published, but I did put a poll on my Insta story. And I asked the question to the people that, you know, read that, are you a good leader? And I had a ton of response, and I put a question on the second like slide or whatever, just saying, do you want to contribute anything else? And so many women that I know that are good leaders said that they were not good leaders. And a lot of the people's comments were things like, I second guess myself, or I get nervous when I'm in a high pressure situation, or one person said, like, I did say yes, but my initial reaction is I wanted to say no, but I lead all day. And I would say the biggest thing I would say to you is that you're not discounted as a leader because you're worried about making a bad decision. Like, I worry about that all day long. Like, every leader worries about that. But you just press past it. So just be encouraged that you can be a leader too. You have to believe it though before you'll ever be able to do it. Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of end the panel with a final question. I got a chance to speak with all these women in prepping for today, and I asked each of them, what was one takeaway that you would just want everyone that was walking out of this room to take with them? And their answers were great, so I wanted them to share those with you. So we'll just kind of go down the line, and maybe you can.
So I wanted to leave you with that you can never start shifting gender biases young enough. Recently, I came across an Instagram account. I don't know if you guys have seen. It's like a robot fashion blogger. She's not real. And I was thinking, I was like, what if she was a scientist? And I was like, what if she was gas both, you know, into science and fashion? And it's just an example of young kids are seeing pop culture, and it's defining the way that they see gender. So you can never start shifting that at a young enough age.
So I like to make an impact in like little ways as frequently as possible. So that's what I want for like everyone that I meet. So there might be, you know, somebody in your organization or in your friend network, and you might encourage that person to, yeah, you know what, you should speak at this event. You should apply to speak at this. Or, hey, they're looking for a podcast guest. You know, let me nominate you. Like little things like that can have an amazing and very powerful impact on a person's life. I've had it for me. People have done that for me, and it makes me want to pay it forward. And so if you start looking for ways to lift other people up within your own community, you'll find that they'll kind of do it back to you. And I think we all could use a lot more of that regardless of our gender right now.
Absolutely.
That's a great one. I think the one I'm going to go with is you're all marketers, a lot of marketers in the room. What are you doing to market yourself like you do, your ABM, your targeting? Use the skills that you have to promote yourself and stop being afraid of promoting yourself. Don't wait for somebody to pull you up. Go take it.
Redesign the speculum in your life is my advice. But seriously, I think it's never stop challenging the status quo. Always be asking yourself, is there another way that we can be doing this? Is there a better way that we can be doing this?
Awesome. Great. Yeah, so good. I think we have a little bit of time for questions if anybody would like to ask. Oh, I got hands. Wow, good thing we have time.
Okay, so excuse me if this is too personal, but I just curious which of you or how many of you have children at home and how you sort of balance that dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. I have 15-year-old twin boys. And
woo!
Thank you. I know. So I'm very lucky because my husband is he's a high school teacher and a football coach. Like I mentioned, I used to be a high school teacher. But he is the one who's kind of like driving them to practices, and he's the one who deals with them. It allows me to do what I do because I do a lot of traveling and speaking and, you know, working, you know, but I also do, I do work for a company that's 100% remote. So, I now work from home, which saves me. I was used to spend 3 hours a day in the car. So it means even if I do have more work to do, I can take a pause and I can cook dinner and enjoy time with my family and help my kids with their homework. And then get kind of right back to it. So that's been an amazing gift in my life, in addition to having the support of a good partner.
I also have two boys, a 14-year-old and 11-year-old. And it's hard, I have to say. I'm pretty much tired all the time, as I'm sure we all are. But, you know, one thing I keep telling myself is by showing this example of working hard and being dedicated to my job, which I love, is that they're going to come home with a really strong woman. Women, and I can't wait to meet them. And I want them to know that that's the norm. You should be with a woman who's strong and powerful and maybe has a even a better job than you, right? So
that's great.
My kids learned percentages by figuring out how much money I made from a closed deal. So that's our dinner time conversation. So it all works together.
Yeah. I actually have two kids too. I have two girls. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And the thing is that I own the company, so I can be as flexible as I want. but I would say that, and I hope that the people that work at my company would say the same, is that I've really been intentional about creating a very flexible work situation. So everyone leaves to go to their kids' things. I remember our VP of operations, one of her first second week, she came and was talking to me and she was like, oh yeah, my daughter is dancing in a national competition tomorrow too, but blah, 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 blah. And I was like, but you're going, right? And she was like, well, it's during work. And I was like, go to the national dance competition. What are you doing? Like, it's not, work is not that important. So, but my point to you all, I know you all don't own your own company, but there are lots of companies like this. Find one. Go find one. It's worth the time.
This is sort of a difficult topic. I have run a women's networking group for risk and compliance, women in risk and compliance, that we call Risky Women. And it's a great group. In 2017, I did a series of events in Boston, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, and Toronto on diversity and inclusion. So we brought all these women who were senior professionals in risk and compliance to talk about diversity and inclusion. And in all five cities, you could just pinpoint the exact same three themes. And one of them that really I took to heart was many of the women found that the men weren't necessarily the problem in their business. It was other women. And I think about, you know, the marketing funnel, and they think as you get higher in the rank, women sometimes feel
as if it's you or me. Like we're both not going to get each other there together, and it becomes very combative and very, to use a bad feminine term, catty. So how do you work to ensure that those behaviors are not in your organizations, that you're setting examples in the right culture for women?
I'll take that. I've been so fortunate that I have not experienced that. I've had more male mentors and I've had female mentors. I think part of these women networks, which are so important, if you're not part of one, become part of one, because it actually helps you be a better woman mentor, right? And so, you know, my feeling is that, you know, the best thing we can do in that situation is, you know, try to bring more women together and continue to do the work. You know, I hear that quite a bit. I have a hard time because I haven't experienced that myself, but I've heard that and I've heard the stories. I think the best thing we can do is try to encourage mentorship inside of our organization. If you have, I loved your point earlier, at any time, you could be a mentor today to anyone, a male, a female. So by encouraging that and opening dialogue, the dialogue is what changes everything. And that's a big thing, is that we hear about diversity inclusion, but once you actually come to events like this, there's a lot of people that aren't here, but I sit on these panels all the time. It's the dialogue and really, wait, oh wow, I'm now seeing it. And so I think we've got to expose women to these programs, because I don't think that's something, I don't think women are trying to do that. I don't think men are trying to do that. I think we just have to expose the dialogue. Mm. That's mine.
This may not be a very popular opinion, but I do believe in politely calling people out for that shit. Like, I was at a Dell World, I feel like forever ago, but I was going to meet with a vendor that was my partner, and I couldn't find him. He was supposed to be at this booth. He wasn't there. And I said, well, I was looking for him, and I mentioned his name, and the woman that was there said, oh yeah, I'll let him know a cute little girl stopped by. Mm. Yeah. And I just stopped for a second and I took a couple of deep breaths and I said, excuse me, I don't appreciate that. Yeah. And she was just so thrown off guard that I stopped and said something about it. And I wasn't nasty. I wasn't all right, let's throw down right now or anything. But I did call it out. And I think that that needs to happen more. And I think we're afraid and we don't want to cause a stir. But if we don't stop and call it out, it's just going to keep happening.
Right. Any other, couple other questions?
Any other questions?
Yeah, there's a couple in the back.
Oh, lots of questions. Okay, we're going to make it back.
Hi, I run the women's group in my company, and it's fully supported by our all-male management team, which is great. I know that we need to involve more men into our activities, although there's some complaining about, why do the girls get happy hour? Or they get to do all these offsites and stuff. Any advice to me how we could get them involved more and actually make an impact?
I'll take that, what we're doing. So you have men that financially support the program. Is that what I'm understanding? And is that your executive team? So is it mostly a male executive team?
All
male. Sorry, I missed that. Okay. So, you know, to me, that's check in the box. Mm-hmm. You got to check the box strategy right now. So if I were you, I would go into that meeting, get a meeting with all of them and bring them some data and, you know, really confront them around what does it mean to check the box versus make change and ask for a deeper level of sponsorship. And so it's little things like making sure if they're speaking on panels that, you know, my CEO will not speak on a panel if it's not 50-50. He literally will decline it. So there's, you know, one, we got to engage them, but it has to be from them. It can't be a check the box, let me go back and give you the money to go have your girly events. The strategy has to change. So I think, you know, I would go to them and tell them what it means to get more involved and what are the metrics that they're putting behind it. We track in Salesforce the diversity of our company. We know at all given time, real-time dashboard, what's going on. Now, we're in a services business, so we have a lot of people, right? And so, you know, those are the things. Like, what are we doing to actually track this in our business? What number are we all signing up for?
Great. I think we had a question back here.
Thank you. So I don't think it's escaped anyone's attention in this room that there are like five visibly male people. So thank you for being here. And it pisses me off. It pisses me off that there aren't more guys here. So I'd like to know, I'd like to do something productive with that rage. And I want to know what each of you would do about that topic specifically.
Maybe we shouldn't call it a women's panel. Maybe what we need to do is start changing our messaging, marketers, right? Maybe we need to do is, you know, because my program was Women's Innovators Network at it, and we later on heard from men that like, well, can I come? I want to come. I'm like, hell, it doesn't even feel, you don't feel inclusive in our programming. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we've got to look at a bigger type of male-led marketing initiative around diversity and holding our business leaders accountable for hiring and metrics. And, you know, my feeling is we've got to reach out. We've got to reach out. I'm hosting this 50-plus male mentoring session, which is amazing. Everybody, where they're like, oh my God, am I really? This is so exciting. I'm really excited to go, right? And so I think we've got to work on our marketing message. We got to evolve it.
Yeah, I agree. And because I think there are men who just think, well, this isn't for me, or I don't belong here, or I'm not wanted, perhaps. And I think there have been groups in the past, like women's network groups in the past, that were more like complaining, male bashing, not productive, that have set us up for, you know, for those expectations. And that is hard. I mean, even like I had someone come by at the Girls in Tech booth today and say, like, isn't that kind of a, like, the name Girls? I'm like, listen, I know. I don't love it, but when I was looking for an organization that I wanted to connect with, I wanted to work with one that was committed to moving the needle in some way and doesn't just want to, like, gather together and bitch, right? I wanted to make sure we were doing something. And this is the organization that's doing that. And so I swallow this name. It's fine. But it is, it's a marketing thing. It's a messaging thing. And I think one of the things that we can do is we can find those men who are willing to be kind of those poster children for that role. And they start encouraging people to attend. So, okay, we're doing this event. I'm going to ask my friend here, hey, can you please invite, like, bring three other men with you to this and start to kind of plant those seeds to show people that it's okay. This is a safe environment for them. Because I think a lot of men just don't feel like it's right. The right place for them to be. It's not that they don't want to participate.
Yeah. Yeah, I love your point about having panels with 50-50, because I was just having this discussion with a colleague recently about having a gender inclusivity panel towards one gender, but you're trying to be inclusive. So for our next panel in New York, we're actually having a man on the panel as well. And I think by the effort of doing and practicing, like what you were talking about as well, is it's starting there and repeating that, rinse and repeating that.
Great. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
There's one behind you.
Great. Keith?
Thanks very much for hosting this and facilitating this discussion. I think it's really important. And so my question to the group is, what specific activities would you like to see men take to help promote this initiative?
Good question.
So it's not necessarily to promote the initiative, but just kind of a story that a friend of mine worked at Intel. And after she was on a lot of high profile accounts at that required international travel, she came back from her first maternity leave to find she'd been taken off the accounts. So she went and confronted her boss and he said, oh, I just assumed that with the baby, you wouldn't want to travel. So I would love you to ask. You know, don't assume that you're making or doing something for the best intentions. Just ask and make sure your staff is comfortable.
I think operating from a place of curiosity is always a good thing. But one of the biggest complaints I hear is, well, we're trying to hire more women, but we're just not getting any applications, right? And start by looking at the job description. This is particularly true in sales. Look at the job description and have a woman read it. Have someone else read it for you. And you will find that there are biases that are written into your job descriptions. Look at your team. When you look at your executive team, if they're all male, if you look at your sales team, they're all male. Think an outsider kind of looking in through the window. Could that person picture him or herself in that environment? So I think those are little things that starting small can have a significant impact on, you know, on the business. So it's just starting from a place of curiosity and going, well, maybe, you know, just making some assumptions that maybe you don't know everything and inviting someone in to take a second look.
And where are you promoting the jobs?
Yes. I know we have a jobs. We have a career board for girls in tech, which I started because this seemed to be a big problem. And I'm like, this is not that hard. There are women who want jobs and there are companies that want to hire them. And like, why can't these people get together? So trying it one email at a time here.
I'll just hit that real quick. So they're, you know, good. I'm not saying anything bad about this, but, you know, sexual harassment training in the 90s, when that really started rolling out, man, that name is so negative. What if we actually partnered and talked about unconscious bias training? And I honestly think that would be so more valuable, and it's so less negative. Sexual harassment, oh, you know, it's so bad. But, you know, maybe as men in the organization, I think that's one area that when men come talk to me, they always say, wow, I didn't even notice like the 8 a.m. call was not really good for my mom's, you know, or all these things around unconscious bias. So my thing to you is we are trying to really develop unconscious bias training in corporations in not a negative way. And having that being sponsored by men is big. So if you are a person in your business and you want to bring it up in your one-on-one with your boss to say, hey, you know, I really want to mentor women. What about we do unconscious bias training in our organization? We ever thought about that? There's a lot of programs being implemented today around that.
I think just to piggyback on that, I think just also coming to terms with the fact that you have unconscious bias, everyone does. It's like a thing. It's scientifically proven. And so coming to a grips with the fact that you have them and identifying them so you can see when they come out. I was having a conversation with somebody outside my organization that was looking to hire somebody, and they were trying to choose between two candidates, and there was a man and there was a woman, and the woman was the stronger candidate, and he knew the woman was a stronger candidate, and he said the woman was a stronger candidate, but he didn't want to hire her because she had kids. And it wasn't because she had kids, but it was because he was afraid she would lose her job in a few months because the company was going to be acquired. And I was like, I appreciate that you think you're doing something wonderful for this woman, but you're not. That's so just realizing like some of the things, sometimes when we think we're being helpful, we're not actually. Like the example you gave is great as well. So awareness is good. So I think we are at the end of our session. Thank you all for coming today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.